It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Get out your CDs, your stonewashed jeans. What else? What other 90s reference can you think of?
Your MC Hammer pants.
Put on In Living Color.
Your MC Hammer pants.
Get out your LA Looks gel so it's all crispy up top like that. Wear your growing
Jerry
little
curl.
Goatee.
Your Jerry Curl. Your Jerry
how about
Curl.
How about, right, like what was
S Curl?
His name? With the sideburns, right, from Beverly Hills, 90210.
Luke Perry. Jason Presley.
Right, Jason Presley had them too. Grow out your sideburns, wear your stonewashed jeans.
Uncle Jesse, whoa.
All of it. Play your CDs because we're going back to the 90s. And I mean, that's what the average score is going to be, actually, 90 in this series.
New York Undercover, Too Legit to Quit.
That's it, all of it. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. It's hour number three. It is Bart and Han. And the Knicks are moving on to the second round of the playoffs. So, Bart, what's that mean?
It's the power hour. 5. Knicks and 5, chumps. Another gentleman sweep.
You're going 5 against the Miami Heat. Let's break that down momentarily. So Rob Goldstein sent us this. His 4-year-old son is in the car with him at this time of day, every day. And his 4-year-old son looks forward to this part of our show. And he wants to be part of it. So here we go. When it's hour number 3 in Bart and Han, what's that mean?
It's the power hour.
I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
I got me my little munchkins. We got to find like a below 15 and under fan club. You know what I'm saying? Send T-shirts and bibs and binkies.
All kinds of stuff. So, Bart, last night the Knicks get the gentleman sweep complete. All 4 wins in this series against the Cavs, they held Cleveland under 100 points. Held them to 95. 106-95 was the final score. And it's once again the defense that was a big part of this. But it's intangible things like rebounding. I mean, it sounds boring, right? Like, you love a series with, like, Jimmy Butler knocking off the Bucks was essentially Jimmy Butler detonating. Like Super Mario, you get the superstar and you go God mode and just go crazy. But I'm here to tell you that the Knicks did it with boring things like rebounding, defense, depth, effort. Brunson got off to a great start. Remember, I thought they've got to survive the first quarter last night.
Yeah.
Loudville, that arena, was not loud. There was nothing going on. Like, that's one of those things, Bart. If you, as an athlete, walked into a stadium for a big game and you thought the home, man, they're going to be all fired up, right? And you went in there and felt no buzz, wouldn't you feel like, we got these guys? Mm-hmm. Like, they don't even believe.
Yeah.
Right? It's not believe land.
You're saying they weren't out there like the dog pound. They went out there like the dog pound.
More
they
like
they went jacked up on Mountain Dew.
They were not. So Brunson gets him off to a good start. Obi Toppin has to step in now because Julius Randle hurt his ankle and didn't play the second half of the game. And so Toppin starts, and he had a great third quarter. Great start to the third quarter. 10 points in the quarter. It's everything you needed from him. Josh Hart did just about everything in this game. He didn't score a ton, but he had 12 rebounds. ABC had him mic'd up for game 4. And he said something, Bart, that I found phenomenal. They caught him talking to Mitchell Robinson, and he said to him, "You get rebounds, but I get rebounds that break teams."
Ooh.
Like, you like that, right? Mm. And that's what he does. He gets those offensive rebounds.
Them heartbreaking ones, them 50-50 balls.
Right. It's all effort. And that he got to a couple, and so did Mitchell Robinson, who was just incredibly dominant. When he got to these offensive rebounds, you heard the Cleveland crowd groaning, and then they started booing. They were getting frustrated with their own team. Like, man, how many offensive rebounds are you giving this team? Mm-hmm. Well, they got 17 of them. 17 offensive rebounds. The Knicks out-rebounded the Cavs in this game by 18. The last time the Knicks had a margin
18 more possessions.
Think about that. The last time the Knicks had a margin of 18 or more in the rebounding department in a playoff game, you have to go back to 1995. Like, that's how significant of a performance that they had there. And they turned all these offensive rebounds into second chance, but 91 second chance points in the series, which is also just an incredible number. So we can talk about Mitchell Robinson's dominance on the glass. We can talk about Jalen Brunson just being, to me, he was all business. There was no emotion out of him. There was no, you know, he wasn't caught up in the moment. This is a guy that went to the conference finals last year. This guy's won national championships. So for him, I think that's exactly part of what he has brought to this team, along with obviously scoring at the point guard position, which is so valuable. But he has brought this sense of calm in the group that they don't seem to get too rattled. Traps were coming. Okay, we'll figure that out. And they did. It's always about just trusting that. Now we see what you're doing. Okay, here's our counterpunch. Here's our adjustment. And that's where now I'll get to Tom Thibodeau. I think of all the things we can talk about in this series that the Knicks did well, the one more thing you have to add to this is that their head coach completely outcoached Cleveland. He had an answer for everything.
There's levels to this. We made this statement about Doc being outcoached a couple times, especially, you know, you're going to get them Golden State Warriors and all the adjustments that they can make, man. Like, it's levels to this. Just like it's levels to players and superstars, it's levels to coaching.
And the last thing I want to point out is a player that took a lot of criticism after the first two games of the series, and that is R.J. Barrett. And remember, going into the series, as I talked about, R.J. Barrett had the most pressure on him. Because not only were you the player that would have been a centerpiece of a trade for Donovan Mitchell, but you were also a player taking two picks ahead of Darius Garland, who's already been an all-star, and you have not. And so if Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, the two best players on the Cavs, if they had dominated this series and won the series and walked away, there would have been a lot of people, and there already were, after the first two games of this series, there were people that were talking about R.J. Barrett. You can't play him. He's got to go. We should have traded him. There was a lot of that talk happening amongst the fan base, and we were getting calls about it.
Star Josh Hart.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, from game three on, all R.J. Barrett did was average 22 points a game and shoot 57% from the field. I would say that's pretty good response, right?
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, we was like, okay, well, you did it at home. Can you go in a hostile environment? Because that's when the stars have to show up. You expect role players. So are you a role player or are you a star? And you're like, nah, I'm a star.
He absolutely did. He played great, especially when Randall got hurt again and you just need that secondary score. He became that. So the best thing you could say about this Knicks team is it is not all one guy. It is a whole bunch of players who are contributing. And they, to me, and why I was so confident they were going to win last night. Remember, I said it yesterday. You kept saying Friday. And I said, I'm not working Friday. I want to go watch the Islanders Friday night at UBS Arena. I don't want to be working at MSG for a game six to see if the Knicks can win the series in six. I picked the Knicks in six. But once they went up 3-1, I saw a team that was on the verge, and they knew it. So I watched a Knicks team, Bart, that believed. You could just see it. That first quarter, watching them execute, watching them in the game plan, everybody seemed to know exactly what they needed to do. Everyone. Even the guys that kind of have been, you know, on the margin most of the season. Mitchell Robinson, sometimes, you know, you don't know where he is. Obi sometimes will look confused every now and then. Like, Obi, are you paying attention? Are you watching film? Yeah. Like, you tend to see certain guys and wonder. You know, R.J. Barrett, you ask him. Sometimes when you watch R.J. during the regular season, you wonder, are you 22 or 32? And yet, and I'm talking about because he doesn't, you know, really run the floor that hard.
Yeah, I know.
But I saw a guy that filled the lane on a beautiful fast break because he just put that extra gear in. I saw Mitchell Robinson that went for every single rebound. And did he fall and flop and fall? No.
Ain't no flopping in the playoffs.
No. He looked bigger and stronger than Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. And absolutely dominated. I saw Obi Toppin come in and have to fill the shoes of an all-star and start the quarter. hitting a three, looking at the Cavs bench after hitting it, and letting them know. That's their phrase, by the way, in Cleveland.
Like ain't no drop ball.
Now, that phrase in Cleveland is let them know. And so Obi hit that three, turned to them, said, yeah, let them know.
Yeah, yeah.
I played at Dayton. I was player of the year. I know Ohio.
This is my hood, son.
That's right. That's what he was. And I mean, I'm telling you, those were critical minutes for Obi Toppin. Critical minutes for him. Josh Hart and his defense relentlessly on Donovan Mitchell. Having Donovan Mitchell just talking to himself at some points of that game. Having, again, Garland frustrated with himself. Mobley is moping, his head's down. Jared Allen just realizing, I'm getting outplayed. Like, just so much going on with this game that as a Knicks fan, it had to be beautiful to watch because you just could see it in their eyes. They knew it. We got them.
Well, let's ask the peoples then.
We are asking
I wonder.
3776. Before we get to the calls, let's hear from Tom Thibodeau.
Ooh.
Because you know a guy that on the the Van Gundy tree was on the bench in the late 90s. He knows these moments. He knows what the Garden can sound like. He knows how important it is to the fan base. He remembers the days when the Knicks were an elite team in the NBA. So he knows what it means just to get to the second round after all these years.
The tradition of the Knicks, what it means not only to the city but the league. And we have what I feel are the best fans in the world. We have the best city in the world, the best arena in the world. And I think the way this team plays, it resonates with all our fans. They play hard, they play smart, and they play together.
You could see it all around the tri-state area. Not just in the city. You don't have to be just in the city. You could see it all around the tri-state area, and it is great. And for Donovan Mitchell, all he can do is tip his cap.
We did a lot of special things this year, but, you know, for it to end this way, it doesn't feel right. You know, I'm proud of every one of those guys in this locker room, our coaching staff and everybody, but they outplayed us. Got to give credit where credit is due. Simple as that.
They outplayed us. And, Bart, I know you disagree. I think he's got a little FOMO.
He could.
I think there's a little bit of FOMO of him just saying, like, that could have been me. Could have been part of that.
He wanted to be part of it. It's not his fault.
I'm not saying it's his fault. I'm
just
saying.
It's not like
he shunned him. You wouldn't feel any FOMO. You wouldn't be walking to feel like, man, why wouldn't they trade for me?
Yeah, I'm sure when he talks to his daddy, like, man, tripping, man.
All right, let's hear from the people, 800-919-3776. Let's continue with the call. Mustafa and Randolph. What's up, Mustafa?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I called a couple weeks ago about the Real Brother roll call and how RJ shouldn't have been on that list. Man, this guy shut me up, man, and I'm so happy about it. I think he was the reason why. Well, one of the big reasons why we ended up closing out that series in five. He absolutely cooked in the last three games. Question I have for you guys is, they're playing against the Heat, and he's done pretty well against the Heat. I mean, could this be another breaking out party for him? I mean, that's what I'm hoping for. I want to know what you guys think. Love you guys. Go Knicks. Thank you,
Mustafa. Yeah, no, look, I think he found something in the series with Cleveland that he could do and get away with, and I credit the coaching staff, of course. We're probably working with him on, hey, look for this, look for that. This is what they're doing. Every series is different, so every series you're going to have to watch and see how defenses are playing and what is available to you. I would think Eric Spoelstra is going to try to make R.J. Barrett a jump shooter, which we know is not his strength. That's what I'm curious to see, and then they're going to have to make that adjustment. But, yeah, they don't have shot blocking. He should be able to get into the basket, but I imagine they know that too, and they don't want to give that up to him. Corey and Patterson. Corey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I was calling because I wanted to say something a little fast. It's just that I don't feel like New Jersey has been getting a lot of credit for keeping New York Knicks name alive, to be honest. We have been getting a lot. We have been getting a lot of for the Knicks fans as far as, the Knicks is trash and this and this and that and all that type of stuff for years. So years and years and years. And us Jersey fans have been saying, the Knicks is this and that and great and everything. But Knicks fans over here in New York just straight up just said, oh, no, it's Brooklyn, especially once the Nets got better. Now, all of a sudden, the Knicks get better, and now, all of a sudden, now the New York City is all New York Knicks all over again. I don't know which one it is. Are you guys Knicks fans or you got Brooklyn Nets fans? I know me from Jersey, I've been a Knicks fan for my whole life. I don't remember being any other fan. I've only been a Knicks fan my whole life.
I appreciate that, Corey. I mean, New Jersey's been notoriously, well, Nets fans for the most part, like you believe that because that's where they started. But, well, not started, but that's where they were most of their existence. But, I mean, of course you're going to have some people, Bart, that flip-flop.
But listen, this is the thing, though.
That happens.
This is the thing about the flip-flopping.
But you know there's always been a die-hard foundation of the fan base that never went away, never wavered.
Yes, but you got to think, man. Like, even if you root for Brooklyn, everybody recognizes and loves when New York's on fire. And the Knicks got New York, got them on fire. So, like you can root for Brooklyn, and then when Brooklyn's out, you can root for the Knicks and be happy for the Knicks, and you
that's
can
crazy.
Have fun with it.
No,
you
got to
think, most people are imports, man.
People are imports. That's not true. Not most people are
imports. Okay, not most. A lot. And I think the people that you hear flip-flopping are the ones who probably have another team in another state, but then when they're here, they pick the particular team here. It's just like when you come here, right, in the tri-state area. We all work in New York. Either you live on the Jersey side or you live on the, like, Brooklyn or Long Island, Queens. It's no difference. We just on the other side.
Right.
We both like border New Yorkers. It doesn't matter.
The center, right? The center point,
the center.
Heart,
yes.
Is Manhattan.
Yes. So if you live in Long Island City or you live in Edgewater, Hoboken, you can still be a Knicks fan and still be away. So, like, come on, man. Let's not do that. Let's just keep it together and keep this energy going. Let's not start pointing fingers, man. We good.
You know how that goes. You always get the people that, I've been here through all the pain, and you're just jumping on the bandwagon now.
Stop.
It is what it is. Chris in Montauk. Chris, what's up?
Hey, before I get into my rant and bring the energy, Corey, relax. Those are bandwagoners. No one ever believed the Nets had any real fans.
Right.
But I've been waiting to talk since you guys started. Bart, there isn't just good versus great. The great Jalen going to bring it. Allen, we're not playing with house money. This ain't the 90s. We won it all. And the only thing sweet is going to see Obi running Kevin Love out the gym. And I'm hoping for is Trae Young in the conference finals so we can put him to sleep and serenade him with our favorite song. Let's go, Knicks. Knicks in five. We here. We winning. This ain't the 90s. This is the championship Knicks.
Oh, wow. All right. Chris is all in. Now he's going championship. He's going all the way in. I just said it was house money emotionally. Like, I'm not saying house money like it doesn't matter. Of course, it always changes.
There's expectations now.
Right?
Because like you're the better team.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't playing. Now, it would have been house money if you were going against Milwaukee.
Oh, hell yeah. Forget it.
But
Milwaukee,
now, like,
you were just happy to be there.
You
wanted to put up a fight.
Yeah,
you know you can win this series. You can win this series.
Yeah, it's like if the field is going to be this week, we might as well go. It's like Major
Mess
League.
Around and just win the whole damn thing?
Hey, there's only one thing left to do. Giannis back hurt. Jaylen Brown's inconsistent.
Yeah.
You know what? It's only one thing left to do. Win the whole damn thing.
I love that one.
Well, then I guess there's only one thing left to do.
Yes.
That. Win the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yes!
Let's go ahead and do it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So the Jets selecting 15th now in the pick swap with the Packers. And the Giants are picking 25th. We'll see which way they go. The mocks have both of them doing sort of the same thing. The mocks have the Jets at taking a tackle, which makes sense, and the Giants going offense, wide receiver or tight end position. 800-919-3776 is the number. We want to just keep rolling through the calls with you. It's been great energy all day, everybody, and we love this. We love talking with you. We talked to New York City. We talked to the tri-state area right now. So let's continue with that with Frank in New Rochelle. Frank.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, it's all about the Knicks, obviously. I want to really ask Bart, I don't know of any other coach who would not play his leading scorer in the fourth quarter of a game four. And my point is, he holds everybody accountable. So as a professional athlete, Bart, I know you played for various coaches. You know, the translation into hold them accountable gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. It's a nice phrase people use. But Tibbs is holding them accountable from day one when he started here. And now we're seeing the fruition of really of his hard labor. So as a professional athlete, can you tell when a coach is really going to hold these, all the players, accountable day in and day out, practice, playing, and et cetera? I'd really like to hear your thoughts on that, please.
Yeah, I mean, it's the standard, right? So the standard is the standard. And if you're not living up to the standard, then I've been around a lot of coaches that held you accountable. I can remember playing for Brian Billick at with the Ravens, and he would say, listen, I will treat all you guys fairly, none of you guys the same. And that's the reality of it, right? Of course, the great player has a little bit more leash, but eventually we'll pull him too. And, you know, we always respected that because we know that it's always different rules for different players. But, you know, you're not afraid to do what's best for the team when what's best for the team is what's right. When I was here, I can remember guys going to Rex and saying, hey, man, listen, Kerry Rose is a great player, but, you know, he's not landing on the line for us physically. And they had just paid him a bunch of money under Mangini. Rex traded him the next year, right? So I've been around a lot of coaches. I can remember Brian Billick sending Chris McAllister home because he broke curfew and he used it as a teachable moment that nobody's above reproach. Nobody's bigger than the team. And if you're not playing well, you know, listen, barbecue chicken. You got to sit down. And we all have bad days. We all go through other stuff outside of the field.
You know, it's funny, but I'm a high school teacher and coach, and there's a basketball coach that used to be in South Carolina that's at UMass that said, you know, the kids aren't different today. It's the way the adults treat the kids.
Yeah.
And I see that in my high school, and not just my high school, but overall. The kids line up if you give them exactly, you know, some sort of goal, some sort of border, make sure they understand.
Yeah.
And then if they do cross it, you have to make sure you hold them accountable and teach them lessons as a high school student so they can continue on. So
life lessons too.
It's the right way to go,
too.
Frank.
It's life lessons too, because that player that you're not, you know, you're not holding accountable may hurt you, but the ones behind him, and when they become that player, you won't be able to have control of them either. So you'll lose control, and it'd be like the inmates running an asylum. But if you sometimes, you know, may even take a loss because you're standing on your principle, then it sends the message and it rings loud.
It's consistency. It's the most important part of it. And that's something that Tibbs always talks about. I just want to be consistent because you know what to expect out of me. And then obviously I'll know what to expect out of you. Lou in Manalapan, Lou.
Hey, how's it going, Alan? How's it going, Bart?
What up?
Really exciting stuff here going on in the city in New York. And, I'm a New Jersey, New York sports fan, but I remember a couple of years ago, Alan, you were talking about it was something along the lines of how do we get New York sports back? How does New York become the sports town that it once was? And just yesterday, starting off with the Aaron Rodgers thing, and then watching the Knicks at night, you know, you look at this situation with both the Knicks and the Jets, where 5 years ago, 4 years ago, we thought that both teams were still in trouble and that they turned it around. And I know the Jets still have to play football, but just the attitudes and I really just look at it from a leadership standpoint. When you bring in appropriate coaches and qualified GMs and you look at, you know, the ability to get a Jalen Brunson in here and guys that want to take that leadership role and kind of develop the team and hold everyone accountable, starting from Tibbs down to, you know, Brunson. Even when Julius Randle comes out after that injury and he kind of taps Jalen on the knee and he goes, you know, we still got this. You know, I'm out here supporting you. You know, go out there and make sure we lock this thing down. You know, it's something that, you know, in the dog days of being a New York sports fan, you really didn't – we never saw that. And we never really – you know, it was just that we were the laughing stock and we were never prepared. And as a Knicks fan, as a Jet fan, as a Mets fan, and even a Ranger fan, you look at this and you say, wow, we're in a really special place, you know. And it's only the beginning, hopefully, you know, of us competing for these opportunities. And hopefully we give the Heat hell, and we go out there and we're playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I appreciate you guys taking the call. Let's go Knicks. Let's go Jets.
You got it, Lou. And again, you know what Lou's saying, Bart. It's funny, you know, from a fan perspective.
Yeah,
is we know it when we see it, mm-hmm. right? Like it may not work perfectly. Like there may still be things that need to be accomplished, but you know it when you see it. You look and you're like, no, they, like when Brian Daboll, how many games did it take for us to look at the Giants and go, yeah, that's different?
Yeah,
like,
because, yeah,
like okay, they got a coach.
Maybe the fourth close game that they won, it was right? Like, man, he's finding ways to win
these
tough games.
This guy knows what to
and
do.
And they're winning based off coaching and leadership. And I think that three of the New York teams have done something that they said couldn't be done here. They built slowly through the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, you talk about the Jets. You talk about the Mets. They
yep.
they got some couple splash players, but, you know, bringing in Pete Alonso, developing guys, right? You talk about the Jets and the draft when Joe Douglas first got here, how bad the first 2 years was getting yep. the roster right. And the fans were somewhat patient and understanding and giving Robert Saleh a legitimate chance to kind of – you know, the whole receipts and all that type
yeah,
of stuff.
We had to live through some awkward stages, no doubt.
Right, and the Knicks, right, not pressing the panic button and just trying to bring in a big name here. They said, nope, we're not giving up that much. We're fine. We'll go with Jalen Brunson. Oh, no, we're fine. We'll go with Josh Hart. Instead of trying to make the big splash and do something that's going to jeopardize the future, give up a bunch of assets, you know, get fleeced in a deal, they didn't do that. And this is the reward you get by having faith and leadership and not judging past, you know, current leadership with past leadership's responsibilities. Remember the Giants went all out there with Gettleman and they spent all that money in free agency?
Oh, yeah.
And now you see Joe Shane getting rid of some of those contracts, getting rid of Bradberry, getting rid of Blake Martinez, getting these guys out of here. And what has he done? Last year he got Thibodeau and Evan Neal. This year he's going to have another great draft, and they're building slowly. So this is what happens when you allow people to come in here and don't try and run them out of town immediately when they show you that they're competent. And, yes, there will always be mistakes in the process. Just like Joe Douglas going out and getting Khalil from, you know, off the couch and giving him $8 million.
Yeah,
or going to get a Simile. Right, and then he sued a franchise. Right,
yeah.
It's going to be you got to take a big swing for a guy if you can try and get it and hope you strike lightning in the bottle. But it's really been about C.J. Mosley and being able to convince him that hey, listen, you're going to go through some tough years, but we know that you're a character guy and you have great leadership, and you'll have the last laugh. Now C.J., who's endured 3 years of just playing on a bad team, is the favorite, or should be one of the favorites.
Yeah. He has a chance to win a Super Bowl now because he put the faith in them. I'll tell you what, you know, the Aaron Judge chase for 62 was obviously great. But the Yankees kind of let us down at the end. The Mets also let us down at the end. I really do think as we talk about when it turned, you know, this sports renaissance in New York, when it turned, I will credit Brian Daboll. Because I think it starts there. The Giants hire a guy, another coach. Let's try this one again. And like I said, you can just see it. You look and you just know. That's
talk about,
That's how you do it. This guy knows what he's doing, and he's taking the same pieces that the previous guy had, and he's winning with it. See, and so it starts there with the hope of, hey, they got a coach, all right? There's something going on with this, a little something happening with this group, with this team. Yeah. And then it starts to turn, I think, from there, Bart. Yeah. And now,
well, I would start before that.
You're going before that?
I would say it started when they made the tough decision to bring in Joe Douglas and fire general manager after he had just made his own draft.
Here's my thing, though, with that. My pushback on
and
you
firing
is
firing of Gabe Gettleman.
We need to, but you remain skeptical through all that. You know what I mean? Like you mm-hmm. just because okay, you brought in Joe Douglas. Let's see what this guy can do. And then you're watching drafts. And you're like, all right, let's see. But I think to me, Brian Daboll comes in and we get the tangible. This guy can coach. Mm-hmm. You know, I love the phrase. The magic is in the work. We always want the magic wand. We all want what happened in Miami, where you just three stars show up, and now all of a sudden you're transformed into a great team. We saw Brooklyn tried it, and it failed miserably. I mean, miserably. So we see that the magic isn't, let's just sign guys and overnight we'll become a sensation. The magic is the work.
Yeah.
And the work is what we have to live through until it starts to show tangible results. The Jets are starting to get that part of Joe Douglas's work. Now we're seeing the tangible results. We just saw it last season. Despite a frustrating season, you have two draft picks that turned into the rookies of the year.
Yeah.
So there's that. Then there's the magic in the work with the Knicks. Slow start. They don't get a star. Jalen Brunson, oh my God, this guy, he's too small and he's overpaid until a head coach that everybody wanted fired. But no, we're sticking to our system. We're sticking to our plan. And then as the work started to continue, you watched the team that just transformed as the season went on. And at this point now you're going, okay, now I'm getting tangible results. It's starting to turn. That's, I think, what we're starting to see when it comes to this, you know, this vibe we have going here in New York. I think it really does. This New York renaissance, if there is one to have now in the next couple of years and we start seeing teams make runs, I want to say it started with Brian Daboll and the New York Football Giants.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So you have, tell everybody what you've got going on tonight now. You're busy tonight. We have draft night, and you have something special going on that you want everybody to be part of, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'm hosting at the stadium with the Jets.
At the stadium, at MetLife Stadium, right?
At MetLife Stadium. Okay. Jets and Giants are having a draft day event. I'm going to be there, with a Giant representative and kind of, just walking through.
Who's the Giant representative? Who's the player that's hanging out with you?
No, it's not a player. It's not a player.
Oh.
But, I'm a dual threat. You know what I'm saying? I can be a player and I can be a host. So, I'm going out there.
I don't want to be a player no more.
So, I'm going out there to host, man, have some fun. If you guys are around the stadium, come on through. We can have a good time. It's always good food. Buy a ticket. Have some fun. Get hyped up and see who the Jets and Giants decide to build their future with. Because I think it's going to be a special year for both squads.
I agree. And it's just a good vibe going on right now. Here's what I want you to do for me. Because you suck at social media. Let's be honest.
I do.
Like, you're great at a lot of things, but you suck at social media.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know how to – like, everybody listen to me for a second. I put out sometimes before the show, like, links and stuff, like, things to, here, you can stream it live here. And I'll tag Bart, and I'll say, hey, Bart, you got to retweet that, but, like, you can quote tweet or something. This dude had no idea what I was talking about.
Yesterday, you have somebody that does your social media for you. I pushed the wrong button.
Yeah. He hit – what would you hit, the reply button or the
reply
comment button?
Not the retweet.
He hit the reply – It's like he's like, is this what I do now? What do I do?
he's like, no, don't push that. Don't
who's
push
the
that
guy out. Over 50, and who's the guy that's supposed to be cool and knows that? So you're gonna do me this favor today. I want you to collect some stuff for our Instagram page.
Okay, gotcha.
I want you, when fans come up to you, because you're gonna get a lot of people that come up to you. So everybody, the Bart's gonna be at MetLife Stadium. When does it start? When does it start, this event?
7 o'clock.
All right, Bart's going to be at MetLife Stadium, 7 o'clock, and there's a big draft party going on. It's Jets and Giants fans, so it's not just Jets. You Giants fans show up as well. This is all for everybody. It's all football. Go there. When you find Bart, make Bart with his phone, not yours. How many people are going to do this? With Bart's phone, you guys together have to do Power Hour.
Oh, okay.
All right? That's what I want to see. I want to see you and fans yelling, it's the Power Hour, right? I want to see how many of those you can do, and then we'll post all of them on our Instagram page.
And we'll judge who does it the best.
And make sure that you give him your tag so we can tag you. Now, here's the thing. If we have 0 to 1 videos, I know it's Bart's fault. Right? And you'll know. So this is – I want you to take Bart. I want you to grab fans and make these videos, and then you just send them to me, and then we'll post them on the page. And let's see how many we can get because everybody loves doing the Power Hour. And if you can get a crowd of people to do it, that'll be fun. Are you good for that?
Yeah, I'm good for that.
All right. Because if I had to do J-E-T-S Jets with Greeny on to get up, then you at least you could do is do this.
I can do the Power Hour.
It's like your favorite thing to do. It's everybody's favorite thing to do. So that's that would be cool to do. And then you get a lot of people to come and hang out with you tonight. But are you you got that going on. You'll be distracted with that. You'll be I know you'll be looking forward to see what the Jets do at 15.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious to see what the Giants are going to do at 25. Will they go receiver? Will they go tight end? Yeah. Will they go corner?
10:45. It's on the program. 10:45 is when the Giants pick.
Giants will pick that late. All right, so there'll be a lot going on. By then, will we know if the Rangers and Devils game, will that game be over? Probably, unless it's in overtime. But if you're
sure
a Ranger
fan. We'll have that game on. We'll have that game on in the stadium.
I bet you will.
Everybody.
Put that game on for sure. But that's a – listen, man. Did the Devils take this series over? Their speed, what they've done defensively, just trapping them into oblivion. The Rangers are not the same team they were when they left Newark, and now they're back in Newark tonight. Can they find their game? Well, that series has flipped, Bart.
You say, speed for defense, right?
Yeah.
Not for offense.
Using their speed for defense, which is smart. That's what they are. A very fast team, and they have stifled the Rangers into just a frustration that
you know
can
how you
feel.
Stop speed. You know how you stop speed.
How do you stop speed? Hit it?
Blunt force trauma.
You got to catch it, though.
Yeah, that's true.
You got to catch it first, right?
It's like Rocky.
Yeah.
To beat this guy, you need speed. You ain't got any speed. And your knees are shot. And you can't do any longer. We got to, let's start building some hurting bombs.
What a day it's been. What a time it's been. It's a lot of fun. We got the draft, like I said, tonight. We've got the hockey tonight. We got a couple of days to just sit back and relax and bask in this Knicks stuff and really enjoy it. You know, I've got hockey tomorrow. And Bart, I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to a night where it's just me and Zach at UBS with 18,000 of our good friends watching a hockey game with no pressure. I told you I wasn't going to work Friday night. I'm not working Friday night. I'm going to be there with my other orange and blue, with the Islanders, and see if they can extend their series. I'm so looking forward to this tomorrow night, brother.
Is it tailgating in hockey?
Like
before the game? Out in the parking lot?
Yeah, I think they do over there. It's not as easy to do, but they do have I do have some of it. My son's trying to get me to take the train to it. And I'm like,
he wants to be wasted. That's why.
Yeah, I think he
wants. He wants to share a Coors Light with you, son.
He definitely
most wants, nice.
He definitely doesn't want me to be the only one that's got a cold one in my hand. You know, right? But I don't know. But we shall see. But still, so much of everything that's going on right now, it's really good. I'm so glad we got to spend most of this show doing that and talking to fans and interacting. There's still a ton of people on hold, and I apologize to everybody for us to not get to you, but you know how it goes.
Call tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to have some more things to be excited about. You can talk about what you wanted to talk about today, and then we'll talk about what the Jets and Giants and Rangers did tomorrow.
Yes.
And Devils. Well.
And, of course, you have the K-Show that's coming up next. Bart, have a fun time tonight. See y'all tomorrow.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.